Jeff, we just came out of the Cavs playoff season. I know you're a big Cavs fan.
I am a big Cavs fan.
Yeah, how'd you feel about this season?
You know, it's funny. So they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. So like, I'm like not discouraged because that it's actually pretty far to go into the tournament.
Yep.
But I did the way that the four game sweep went. I'm like the Knicks. I'm not so. I kind of expected the Knicks to win.
Sure.
They're not sweep good.
Mm-hmm.
And at that game one, when we blew a 21 point lead with 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter, like I'm like,
and then they won by like 19. I mean, yeah, it was crazy.
Like, yeah. Yeah. I'm like, guys, come on. Yeah. You know. So somewhere, they either ran out of gas or something clicked, and they kind of lost their spirit in there because they got pretty thumped on pretty bad the last three games.
I agree. I thought going into that series that we matched up better against the Knicks than even the Pistons, who they beat to get to the Knicks. And yeah, I was a little bit blown away. I had a chance to go to one of those games, and I'm like, and I decided not to prioritize it. I'm kind of glad I didn't.
Yeah. I had a chance to play in one.
Of course you did. Yeah.
But
that
I
makes
was like,
sense.
You know, guys, yeah. That well, my NBA career is behind me.
When you're losing by 30, who cares who's on the floor?
That's right. That's right. They're like, get him out of retirement. Let's
get
not
the
hurt JV, the
JV,
ones.
JV, JV in. You know, yeah. Like, yeah. The backups of the backups.
You know
the
backups. What we're doing here pretty soon is, you know, the World Cup's in town.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's an exhibition game between Brazil, which is where my wife is from, mm-hmm. and Egypt. So we're going to go up and watch them play.
Oh, that'll
and
be
so
cool.
It'll be fun. It's the only tickets we could afford. The actual World Cup tickets are like crazy.
Insane. Yeah. Yeah, 'cause the whole world, and isn't it like a lottery too? Like to even
yeah, I
try.
Think you gotta get a lottery, and then I don't know if they scalp them or I'm sure you can buy them scalp.
Sure,
but
yeah,
it's crazy the cost of things.
It's nuts. Did you hear when the Olympics are going to be in LA in 2028? Did you hear that some of the soccer games were played in Columbus?
Oh, really?
Yeah. So apparently, because we're the same country, obviously, like they just went to the biggest and nicest soccer stadiums, and Columbus is going to be one of the places
oh,
that some
fun.
Of them are hosted. So. You know, shout
well,
out to...
I would love to see a real Brazil World Cup game someday.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to... I don't have, you know...
I can't...
I don't have the money to crank on those tickets.
I can't imagine what it would be like to be in a country that reveres soccer to that level and they win it. Because you and I were in Brazil when they won the Olympics.
Yeah.
And they went nuts.
Yeah.
But the Olympics is like...
It's not the world... It's a JV. It's,
uh-huh,
yeah.
It's not the same.
It's not the World Cup.
Yeah. Ah, c'est la vie. Welcome to
la
Mixed
vie.
Messages... That's an excellent cultural response, Jeff. It's so good. Oh, that was French for such is life. But thank you for saying lovey. Man, that was a throwback. My buddy in college used to say it all the time. Anyway, welcome to Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue. My name is Joe Caruso. We are super glad you're here. There's a lot of noise out there, and it's not always clear to know what to believe or how to live. So we just want to help you have a resource to kind of live through and sort through all the mixed messages around us and follow the way of Jesus. So let's go ahead and dive in. Jeff, today we're going to talk a little bit about families and babies and what the Bible says about that and how we can all navigate it. The submitted question, it's a shorter one, but right to the point today. It says, what is the church's or the Bible's stance on birth control? Specifically, within a biblical marriage, especially if the couple already has children, when is it okay to say that's enough or no more right now?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think every couple, every married couple struggles with this at one point or another. And when you have a New Testament marriage, a man and a woman, you know, obviously birth control and children is a part of that conversation. So this is what I would say in general, and then we can talk about it. In general, the Bible would not prohibit birth control, but it would promote children.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So does that make sense? So the Bible would not prohibit birth control, but it would not promote children. And so I think in some ways that your family is filled up, so to say, when you and your spouse feel or decide that it's filled up.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, you have one child.
Yep.
I have six, mm-hmm. right? So I don't think that I'm more biblical than you are or you're less biblical than I am. We would look and say our family was filled up.
Mm-hmm.
So birth control becomes a part of that. And there's a whole bunch of reasons why it's important that we're able to exercise that freedom. Everything from health issues to the strain of marriage to the what your children are like. If you have a child that has special needs, you may have less children because of the energy that you want to put for that children. If it's a second marriage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a just a plethora of relationships and how those things work. And I think birth control becomes an issue of freedom, mm-hmm. and it becomes an issue of navigation for each family. So I say all that because I think it's important that you have a freedom to use birth control. The reason that that makes sense to me in the scripture is because God is pro-children and he's also pro-sex. Mm-hmm. So if the only means of birth control is no sex, you're going to run into a whole nother set of issues and a whole nother set of biblical directives. Mm-hmm. If the only means of birth control is why the wife is pregnant, she can't get pregnant multiple times, that's a form of birth control. I'm like, well, now you're into a different set of issues. If you pull the conversation back into a freedom issue that I can use different forms of birth control, and when I say birth control, I want to be very specific. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about preconception.
Yes.
So I don't believe that abortion or day after pills are birth control. Mm-hmm. I believe that's abortion mm-hmm. issues. But preconception, there's a bunch of different ways to control that.
Yep.
And there's a bunch of freedom that I think we have within it. All that said, I think the Bible is pro-sex within the confines of a New Testament marriage, and I think the Bible is pro-children. So mm-hmm. it's interesting. The Bible never speaks of children negatively.
No.
So the Bible is never like, and if you get stuck pregnant. That's never a thing in the scripture. The Bible only speaks of children as blessings, and how they are conceived is not attached to whether they are a blessing or not.
Yeah.
I think that's really, really important. Mm-hmm. So the convenience of them, were you ready for them, even inside, outside of marriage or inside, outside of sin.
Sure.
The child itself is always viewed as a blessing that should be cherished and protected and honored. So in some ways, what I would say is, if you're asking my opinion now, not my biblical stance on it, I would say that I think families should have as many children as they feel blessed by, and how that fits into the rhythm of their family is a individual family and freedom decision.
Yeah.
Heidi and I decided to have 6 kids and then decided to stop. Mm-hmm. So it's like, did I win? Because did I have enough kids? Because we exercised birth control before and after, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes there's this old saying of the quiver is full. It's arrows are, children are like arrows in the arms of an archer. And so like my quiver is full. Like, when is it full? I'm like, it's full when you and your spouse before the Lord feel like that your family is complete and full. And then if God overrides it, because I can introduce you to my two friends, uh-huh. Or to my friends' two children that are post-vasectomy children. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, man, you just got to live with that. Because mm-hmm. God overrides it. I can introduce you to all kinds of people that were unexpected pregnancies. Mm-hmm. Even Heidi and I had that. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. What? You know, right. Like it shocks you a little bit. I won't even go into the number of times I knew a wife was pregnant before her husband because she called me in tears. She's like, Pastor Jeff, what am I supposed to do? And I'm like, you should call your husband, not me. Like, yeah. Let's start there. And then mm-hmm. the three of us will talk it through. So there's all that kind of stuff. I don't know any of those parents that would look back and say, man, really, that was the worst thing that ever happened to me, because they would see that God was doing something, completing something, starting something. So I think that needs to always be in mind.
I was just talking with a young dad this weekend, actually, and they're expecting their third. And he had it in his mind, and they at one point in time had it in their mind that they were going to be done with two. And then she was like, I think I really, really want a third. And he's like, well, and then he was kind of like pseudo open to it. And, you know, not totally. Well, then she got pregnant pretty fast once they allowed that. And he was just like, you know, like, oh my gosh, that was kind of his initial reaction. And he was telling me, he's like, but then it only took a couple of days from like the switch flipped. And he goes, no, I'm pretty excited to like have another kid into the house, you know, like, because when you get over kids aren't issues. They're not obstacles. They're people, and they reflect you as the parent. And like, I think that's why the Bible talks about them so positively. They are truly blessings. It is life. It is extensions of yourself. It is love unimaginable. There's so much wonder to having children. So kind of along those lines, Jeff, like, are there mindsets that like maybe are kind of normal in our culture that maybe we should try to avoid or that we would want to discourage when it comes to this is why I don't want to have children or even emotional reactions that are prevalent when we find out we're going to?
Emotional reactions are what they are, like depending on like if you're surprised or not. What I would say is this. I would say that I think one of the biggest keys to having the joy of the Lord is surrendering to the will of the Lord.
Mm.
And usually when you're unhappy with kids, it's because you wanted something else and God gave you what he gave you.
Mm.
Or you wanted your kid to be something else and God gave you what he gave you. And so it's funny, I was just having this conversation with a young couple. Heidi and I were talking with them. And you know, a little overwhelmed, and a little overwhelmed with life and ministry and all the rest. And Heidi said something so profound. She said, "When I came to peace with being a mother, is when I gave up all other expectations, and that's when I started to enjoy being a mom. I wasn't trying to balance like mom and career, freedom and mom, my old life and mom." She's like, When we decided that we were going to have a big family, I had to decide that that's where my joy and my fulfillment was going to come from. And then she looked at this young woman. She's like, I never have regretted that once. Mm. You know, I was willing to walk away. And I had this conversation with dads all the time. They're like, the kids are so hard. I'm like, the kids are so hard because you're trying to fit them into your old life. When you become a parent, your life becomes completely different and the old is gone.
Mm-hmm.
And you will get to enjoy pieces and parts of that when your nest is empty. Yeah. But even then, once you're dad for good.
Mm-hmm.
And mom, of course. And so I'm like, you have to surrender to that. And there is great, great joy to that. And I think it blesses us. In our culture, children are considered an interruption. That's why we throw so many away through abortion,
mm-hmm.
hundreds of, or tens of millions, I should say. In our culture, they are viewed as add-ons.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have my career rolling, I got my house rolling, now it's time to have kids. And I'm like, I don't think that's the scriptural way. When I get married, Heidi's not added to my life. We become one.
Mm-hmm.
She is my life. And the same thing happens when we have children. I don't add children to my life like I would a dog or a cat.
Mm-hmm.
My life is now refocused and redefined, and I'm living in that. So any of those like mindsets or expectations, I'm like, those are not godly, mm-hmm. I don't think. They are temptations, and I want to be extremely graceful. The transition's just hard.
Yep.
You know, so I remember when we went from to two kids, that wasn't too bad. I always say when we went from man to zone, it got real crazy.
Sure.
And I'm like, it was. I like to joke that I know biologically my 30s happened, but I don't really remember any of them because you're just going to the next thing, going to the next thing. I look back and I'm like, there was nothing else I was doing that was as valuable as being a parent because I don't even really remember what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I do remember, of course, and tied into my children. And so it is the best thing. It's the highest thing. I was talking to a guy yesterday, actually, about having a kid. And he's kind of having a shocker of, you know, he's going to have a kid. And he said to me something really profound. He said, I realized, he goes, I need to surrender to the fact, because he's kind of like shaken by all this, you know. And he said, I need to surrender to the fact that God is leading me to my heart's desire. Mm-hmm. That I'm desiring this child.
That's good.
And I haven't cut through the noise of the rest of my life to realize that. So my Heavenly Father loves me enough to take me where I actually want to be, because my Heavenly Father knows that the greatest thing that's going to happen in my life is I have this child. I just don't know it yet.
Whew.
And isn't that good?
That's so good.
And I'm like, and then he was like, how am I doing? I was like, oh, you're doing great, man.
You're doing just fine. Like, yeah. You're,
you know, that's awesome. And everything else is the adjustment. Mm-hmm. And I've done that. You know, our plan was 4 kids. Mm. And our 5th one was who is my daughter, my favorite one. My 5th one.
My daughter's my favorite too.
It was a total shock. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Well, little did I know, because we have 5 boys and a girl. I can't, man, if I would have missed out on being a girl dad, I mean, it's the best, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm like, I wouldn't have chosen that.
Sure.
God knew that it was going to be one of the most meaningful relationships in my life. And my relationship with my daughter is completely different in many ways than my relationship with my sons. And I joke about her being my favorite. That's not actually true, but I have, there's a uniqueness to it. Mm-hmm. And God led me somewhere I didn't know I wanted to go, mm-hmm. you know? And so all that mixes together. And then I would just say, and then there's a freedom. I don't think everybody has to have 6 kids or 12 or 1, or I think there's a freedom within your family. And I think that's a decision that you and your spouse make together as mm-hmm. best that you can.
Yeah.
And I think somehow God lets us decide those things as we go forward.
Jeff, I wonder if we can't kind of take a twist on this question to kind of wrap up this episode and actually speak to kind of like the gift of life that God gives us when children aren't in the plan. Mm-hmm. Because there's going to be plenty of our listeners that are single, and maybe they feel like they're at an age where they're like, boy, that might go the duration. Or other folks that they just can't have children. And so, like, does that mean God just doesn't want to give us good gifts? Like, how does a lot of what we've talked about that makes rearing children seem like such a positive thing, what is God doing in those scenarios?
Well, first of all, I have 2 grandchildren right now. One is biological, one's adopted, and that means nothing to me, mm-hmm. right? I just adore them,
yep.
both. And it never even crosses my mind that that's the way it happened. And so, like, God may give you children in a different way. Mm-hmm. And that's not giving you that's not being a cat dad or dog dad, you know, kind of thing. I'm like, for real, like there's children that need and want parents. And I know there's 2 single women in our church. This is on the forefront of my mind because I just connected them. But the one, probably, I'd have to ask her now, 5-6 years ago now, she adopted. Heidi and I were a part of that. And like her little girl. So it's mom and a little girl. The lady was never married but wanted mm-hmm. to be a mom. She adopted this little girl. And like this little girl has a very special place in her heart. And because the mom kind of invited us in mm-hmm. a unique way, and I just adore this little one. And so I just connected her with another single lady mm-hmm. who is wanting to adopt. And the lady came up to me and she's like, do you think this is crazy? I'm like, actually, no. Mm-hmm. Let me give you a new friend, you know? Mm-hmm. So, and then there's all kinds of adopted kids throughout the church. And in fact, every Jesus follower is adopted.
Right.
Right. So the Bible literally uses that language that we're adopted by our Heavenly Father. So first of all, let me just say that, like, yeah. I have never been more of a proponent of adoption than I am right now in my life, because our granddaughter, mm-hmm. we wouldn't have her, you know? Yeah. And we just view her as such a gift. And we view her mother, her birth mother, as such a gift. Mm. Because she didn't abort the baby. She let us have her, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's a big, big thing. I also would look at those of you who don't have children, and maybe you've chosen not to, or maybe you've just never married, or you know. And I'm like, no, that,
or you can't, or
yeah, yeah. You can't, or whatever. That does not devalue you in God's eyes, and your role is to invest yourself into the children of the church, so to say. Mm-hmm. And that might be children who are in their 20s or in their teens, or maybe it is babies, I don't know. But you would look and say the family of God. Mm-hmm. I have literally at Grace Church thousands of spiritual nieces and nephews, mm-hmm. and you invest in them. I was actually talking to this was a lady that was in this situation, didn't really want kids, never been married. And she's like, but I feel like I should invest into the children of my nieces and nephews, what should I do? And I was like, well, do you like hanging out with teenagers? She's like, no. I was like, do you like young adults? She's like, no. I was like, do you like children? She's like, not really. Mm-hmm. But she had like this heart. She's like, but I don't want to be like a mentor disciple. Well, we talked about how to steer her finances. And I just had this conversation with a gentleman, and we steered his finances towards the special needs ministries. Mm-hmm. I'm like, there's lots and lots of ways to express love. If God hasn't, you know, there is the Apostle Paul actually says, for the kingdom of God, it would be better if you were single like I am. Mm-hmm. It's not a sin to be single.
Nope.
It's not a lesser than. Mm-hmm. And I actually think the North American church is like, we might have communicated that sometimes because we talk about families and stuff all the time. But my brother was single until he was 42. And I always say he didn't go sit at the kids' table.
Right.
You know, he's a part of our family. And what he did with that singleness, I'm a little biased about this. My dad got sick when I was 12. My big brother was my savior. Mm-hmm. And in some ways it was because he didn't. And he and his wife got married, like they don't have children. In some ways it's because he didn't have children that he was more like a dad and an uncle to me. Until I was like in my 40s and like we finally like leveled out a little bit. but he was a savior to me. Mm-hmm. And so you look for where God has called you and to the people he's called you to. Parenthood is a blessing. It's not the only one.
Yeah.
We just happen to be talking about it right now. Yep. It's a calling. It's not the highest calling.
Yeah.
There are many families in the church. Families are made up in multiple ways.
So many ways.
It's not just biology. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the family of God is not made up of biology. It's made up of a unified heart. And so we are one. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have children, if you're single, or whatever, like you are my children's and Ainsley's spiritual aunt and uncle, and the family of God needs you to invest that way. And that can look like a billion things.
Yeah. Jeff, I, you know, working with you for a long time now, I had a strong inkling you would say those kind of things, and I'm so glad you did. I just think this becomes a real emotional point for people on both sides of the whole experience. And so just knowing that God hasn't left us, forsaken us, that he's got plans for us, can use us in so many meaningful and powerful ways. It's just good to be reminded every once in a while.
100%.
Well, thanks, guys, for checking out today's episode. And if you have questions like this you'd like us to tackle or even follow-up ones, you can go over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages and send them our way. Don't be a stranger. Reach out. Let us know if you're enjoying the podcast. And make sure you subscribe, follow, rate, and review to help others find it too. And of course, we'd love to see you at Grace this weekend, whether in person or online, to kind of connect into this greater family. Thanks so much for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all the mixed messages around us. We'll see you next time.